This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Our guy Tyler Milner, he is out today, but Chris Santiago is in for him today. We're in good hands with him handling the ones and twos. Coming up in an hour or so, a little bit in the 4 o'clock hour, Will Kunkel, who is live in West Palm Beach, we will get the latest of spring training with the Astros. We know Altuve spoke today. We know, obviously, now they're understanding life without Alex Bregman. We'll get the latest of everything from Will coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But Clint, you know, was off a little bit and doing some reading over the weekend, looking at some stuff, and I know you read the same article. DJ Bieniemy of ESPN put out an article, and it was really kind of a deeper thought about some of the issues last year, in particular with Bobby Slowick. And by the way, it's coming out, boy. I mean, the Bobby Slowick, as soon as he was let go, boy, we're starting to see stuff kind of trickle out, which ain't, you know, largely uncommon. But, Clint, it feels like at least what we're hearing and the stories that are coming out. I know Jonathan Alexander has had similar columns. We're starting to hear different things coming out. I don't know about you, Clint, and there's some things in this article that really jump out. But it feels like they believe Bobby Slowick was the main, absolute biggest problem, and maybe the only problem that allowed this offense to take the step back it did in the way it performed last year. That's what it comes off to me.
I mean, we talked about it, man. When they first fired Bobby, it's like, well, they're going to show their hand when they based on who they fire and who they don't. And they clearly, from jump, have thought that Bobby was the biggest problem and really the only problem. The Chris Strouser stuff is interesting because a lot of the conversations as the Texans' offensive line struggled was Strouser was going to retire or be done anyway. So it's kind of I wonder how much of this Chris Strouser was based off of the actual O-line play.
Was this always the plan to hand it over to his
assistant, to Cole Popovich kind of deal? But yeah, look, there's no question about it. I mean, again, you got wide receivers running dig routes into each other, and the wide receiver coach ain't taking none of the bullets. I mean, you got that, like, there was clear, like, detailed issues.
Tight end issues.
Yeah. I mean, the tight end, the least physical player in the NFL last year, top to bottom, and the tight end coaches, I'm sure, sitting steady. It's wild, man. So, but yeah, that's where we're at. Is it looks like the way they're handling things is Bobby Slowick is the most unassuming tyrant I think I've ever
right. It feels like
I've ever covered.
He is a tyrant, a dictator, Napoleon out there.
I mean, apparently in the offseason he just took and did a 180 after having an incredible year and being a head coach candidate. He just did a 180. And all of a sudden was trying to stuff C.J. Stroud into this certain kind of scheme and forcing the offensive line to communicate poorly. And, you know, Bobby's the lone problem, man. It's an interesting approach. We'll see.
Right, because you're right. We have not seen, outside of Strouser, we have not seen any other coach. Now, this doesn't mean that they're not going to make changes, but up to this point, we have not seen any other
not
coach
that I know of.
Moved upon. In fact, I think we heard Jerod Johnson would remain as the quarterback coach. And the only change, as you said, we've seen is obviously Nick Caley in for Bobby Slowick, and then Cole Popovich, who was the assistant offensive line coach last year, in as the O-line coach. And I want to, because it does, like I said, it feels like, I don't want to use the word scapegoat or fall guy because that implies that he wasn't. And he may be. It implies it wasn't his fault and he is just the one getting the blame. It may be his fault. It may, like, everything that we're hearing is that it may have been all Bobby Slowick and everybody else. That may be the case, so I don't want to use those words, but it does appear that they believe Bobby has been the problem, and that this thing will have a completely different feel because he is gone.
That's the point, though. It's not because Nick Caley is here and Cole Popovich are here, but because Bobby Slowick is gone, right? I mean, that's what it seems like.
And I'll let some of the people here, and I know you knew some of them, but I want to read some of the quotes from the article that DJ Bieniemy put in on ESPN. I don't think... This is coming from a player in Clint's favorite, an anonymous player, told ESPN, "I don't think we had a true identity of what the F we wanted to do." Those were comments. Another comment here from somebody in the organization: Stroud wasn't allowed to change protections at the line of scrimmage. Often in Slowick's offense, it was the center's responsibility. A lot of calls were considered basic, according to a team source, as simple as having three offensive linemen zone blocking to one side while the backside blockers were one-on-one with backside rushers. Multiple team sources believe Slowick was trying. Here's your favorite, Clint. Multiple team sources were saying that they believe Slowick was trying to make Stroud a system quarterback versus getting him to play more naturally, which is being a playmaker and pushing the ball down the field. I just didn't see that. I felt like that was the thing that was getting him in trouble. I felt like Bobby was coming, and people were getting annoyed every time Bobby was coming to the podium saying, "What's the one thing, good thing that you do?" And that's push the ball down the field. I distinctly remember that. But this is coming from a team source. Also, a team source said Slowick overcomplicated reads, which didn't allow Stroud to play fast. I just felt like a team source told ESPN, just felt like the offensive coaches were putting a lot of pressure on him being C.J. Stroud. So those are some of the comments that come out of this article, Clint. Again, when you read that, drives home the, and I'll just say this, this may be true about Bobby. Okay, they're there, they believe it, and obviously the moves they're making is of such. But, Clint, I just think we should see a completely different thing than what we saw last year. We should see an offensive line, a tie, yeah, all of if, this. If we should answer, see something completely different.
Yeah, if the answer is clearly you're confident enough in what you're doing that you feel like removing Bobby Slowick and removing Chris Strouser and replacing them with ultimately one of McVay's assistants and Chris Strouser's assistant in those two positions – then yes, there you clearly you D'Amico and Nick Caserio are making the statement of we don't need sweeping changes. We need more energy in the building. We need more. We need a better vibe in the building. We need C.J. Stroud to have more rapport with his play caller, and that's it. Right? I mean, that's sure. Would you like to establish a little bit more physicality up front and establish the run game? Do you need to figure out pass protection? Yeah, but this is not a move of holy hell. We were bad. We couldn't protect. We couldn't run the football consistently. Where our routes are all at different. We lack physicality. Like, let's get somebody in here that's going to change the game for us. It wasn't that kind of move. It was a move that was very minimal rocking of the boat, very, very minimal change, and you expect that to take you from a 10-win team to ultimately a Super Bowl. We'll see what happens. It was definitely a move that screams, Bobby was the problem. Get Bobby's toxic ass out of the building.
That's what it feels like.
And we will be a much better offense. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, you know, you just look back at it and you just think, you know, we were told it was a collaborative effort. A lot of, you know, this isn't Bobby's offense. Collaborative effort. You got a lot of minds in the game. You got a great quarterback coach. You got Bill Lazor. You got a great wide receiver coach, and everything's collaborative. But then when it's time for rubber to meet the road and somebody to hit the high road, it's Bobby Slowick and the world's supposed to change. I hope they're right. I hope that they were very minimal changes
again,
away
said,
from a Super Bowl.
They know better than we. Yep. They were there every day. And I'm listening to you say it, and I think you're describing it well. I don't know why they let him continue.
Yeah, you would think if it was that bad, week nine when he's talking about identity, it's a fluid situation. You'd remove him from that.
And I'm not kidding. I don't like, and maybe they had some serious conversations. I don't know. I don't know why they let him continue.
Yeah.
And not let Bill Lazor or let somebody else take over. Like, I don't know why. Like, as bad as it sounds, as stuff is rolling out.
Yeah.
Since he left. You still had a chance.
Yeah, I mean,
you were
6-2 and lost to the Jets, and that's when a lot of the locker room rumbling started. Apparently, at 6-3.
All right, maybe you want to go a couple more weeks. All right, but hell, then you got to the Chiefs game.
Was that Detroit? Were they 6-2 the Detroit game week 9?
That sounds right. Detroit, yeah, that Sunday night game. But I just even like you said, a tyrant. A guy that was rolling and running this. As someone texted in, the way that people are describing it sounds like Bill O'Brien at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill lasted 4 ball games.
Yeah.
For Cal said, hell no, we got to stop. We got to move forward.
Yeah, Bill fighting J.J. Watt at practice.
Listen,
that guy.
I will, and again, Clint and you all, we don't know what happened. I will just, and I'm reading all of these things, and Clint, I know I've heard you talk about it. I think you agree with some of these things, especially the center being the responsible person to make calls and not the quarterback. You've brought that up before. I think that was made to be public. I know some things you don't agree with. I don't think you agree with the trying to make him a system quarterback versus play natural.
Every quarterback ultimately is a system quarterback. I mean, there's not a, you know, yes, you as an offensive coordinator, you put your player in position to play to his strengths, not his weaknesses. But you don't draft C.J. Stroud and build a C.J. Stroud offense. I mean, it's that's silly. I mean, C.J. Stroud needs to be in an offense that's very Brady-like, very Burrow-like, however you want to couch it. Which, I mean, because you look at it, you go, boy, you try to fit him into a system. The system you're talking about has a 5 different style quarterbacks playing it right now. What the hell are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about? Like that system.
I didn't watch him last year and think, man, he is like there were times I watched. I hate to use this, but I watched Deshaun and I was like, damn, he looks trapped.
Yes, agreed.
Like he looks trapped. Like here in Houston, not whatever sport he's been playing in Cleveland. But he looks trapped. Like, they're not, like, how come they're not using everything? They're not using his leg. I didn't in 2 years didn't watch. I felt like CJ was getting screwed over by protection. Mm-hmm. I felt like CJ was not given a chance at times to explore things, whatever. But I didn't watch it and think, man, they got the cuffs on him.
Yeah.
I felt like he was trying to. He was pushing it down the field.
Yeah, it appeared in what they were trying to do was have him hold the football, drive it down the field, and it wasn't working because he was getting hit so much. Now, you can blame that on Bobby as well and say the protection was bad, but what you can't do is say, well, they weren't letting him try to drive the football down the field, letting him get, you know, from the pocket, stretch the field. No, they told us from jump. That's exactly what they were trying to do, which I think it's a major mistake. I think you should have squeezed his ass into the system that he got the Rookie of the Year award off of and led the league in all the different stats and won 10 games as a rookie and over exceeded as a quarterback and exceeded expectations. I'm sorry, as a team, as an offense, as a quarterback. Like I think you should have squeezed his ass into that instead of talking about being all this aggressive that. So. Yeah, it's always interesting the conversations around adversity, and it looks like every bit of it's being laid at the feet of Bobby Slowick, and I hope like hell that they're right.
The last thing I'll say on this right now is I just, and maybe you all did. I did not watch the offensive issues. Like that little stretch where they couldn't score in the second half of games and all that, everything we saw. I didn't watch that and think, damn, man, that's one dude that's screwing all this up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Like, I just, like, it may be. It very well may be. Like, and it appears they look at this and see this is going to be the major change. It's just from the outside looking in, and maybe from the outside looking in, you all felt different. I didn't watch that and say, that what we're seeing, that's all due to one person.
Yeah.
That's just not how that came to look for me. All right. It wasn't just Nick Caley who spoke. D'Amico Ryan spoke as well. And I see some people talking about D'Amico. He said that was his call and it was his decision. It was a tough process for him. What's your confidence level now? He hired Slowick, brought him in. I think it was a mixed bag. What's your confidence in this decision coming from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans? That's next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, D'Amico Ryans, you heard that promo there as we jumped out of the break. Said, "Hey man, Nick Caley said this guy has the ability to tailor the offense towards the players and get us over, as he said, the hump." And I do wonder where fans are. 713-572-4610. Those of you on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, those who are on YouTube and Twitch, I see you, Kick Rocks, and Sally in the building, everybody over there. Now that we've seen D'Amico, we know, and I'm taking him for his word, right? As he said, this is his hire, man. He made this decision. It was a tough decision. He wouldn't make this decision. He made the Nick Caley decision. He also made the Bobby Slowick decision, right? That was his guy he brought with him from San Francisco. And clearly year one, it was a home run decision, right? Based off what happened with C.J. Stroud, what happened with the offense, and this guy getting head coaching opportunities, at least interviews, multiple ones after year one, a home run. Obviously, last year, he felt he had to make the tough decision to make the change on Bobby Slowick. How are you feeling now that we're already here year two? And it's his second selection here. And based off what he brought in, and like I said, you hear from the people as well, how are you feeling in your confidence that D'Amico can pick the guy that this offense needs?
Well, look, I not good. I mean, the confidence level is low. It's when we hired D'Amico Ryans, a defensive-minded head coach, I immediately said the fear is that you get a turnstile in the wrong direction at the offensive coordinator position. Yeah. Even if the guy wins, he moves on, you got to find the next replacement. And it could be in a year like this year where you find yourself without an offensive coordinator and there's nobody out there. The old heads that are on the streets, they want to take the year off, and Mike McCarthy, Doug Peterson doesn't want to coach. You know, all these, a couple of the other guys got, you know, Chip Kelly's making too much money, right? So it's one of those scenarios where you look up and you fire a guy and you go, well, damn, what am I going to do now, right? This is precisely why the defensive-minded head coach, from jump, scared the hell out of me. And now that we're 2 years into this thing, everybody out there, all the listeners out there that called me every name in the book when I said it, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that I don't like to hire D'Amico Ryans. I'm just telling you this is life with the defensive-minded head coach, is you're constantly trying to get the most important piece, the best support you can, which is your quarterback. You found the quarterback, and now – unfortunately, you can't find the play caller to get it right. And when D'Amico, in D'Amico we trust, he hires his first guy. It's his homeboy. Again, not some established, older, pelt on the wall, coaches with an iron fist, my way or the highway type offensive coordinator. He hires a guy from the system that he's been locked at the hip with in San Francisco. And we all just got to sit here and trust, right? One good year, one bad year. D'Amico, boom, boots him out the door, and here we are hiring another guy from that Shanahan, McVay, Kubiak understudy, you know, up and coming type of guy, and now we just supposed to sit here and trust again. Yeah, I don't have confidence. I don't have much confidence at all, to be honest with you. Whether it's in D'Amico or it's in Nick or it's in Nick Cayley, I don't. The confidence is not real high that this is going to show that this is going to bear much fruit in the sense of improved production offensively.
Because yeah, there is a wait and see element, which I think we are squarely in. But sometimes the wait
it's the only option you have.
But sometimes it is made different if you feel like, all right, I've got a good feel that based off history or whatever, the direction they're going to go is going to work out.
Yeah, yeah, and I tell you, you talked about the confidence in D'Amico. I don't know any of the details, but right now, if I had to bet on kind of, you know, a 30,000 foot view of what's going on, the first time, D'Amico Ryans, you got it. Hire your guy. He hires his guy, and it's Bobby Slowick. And this time, it's hard for me to not go Nick Caserio.
Let's collab on this thing a little bit more.
Let's go your route. Who do you got? Well, we got the old New England, good buddy of mine, New England, John Carroll guy from New England, O-line coach. Let's just make him we already got him an assistant. Let's make him the O-line coach. Let's go get this guy. It's been a hot, you know, he's been hot lately. In a time, by the way, let's make sure we include all the context. Yes, he's been hot. He's turned down some interviews. I get it, but we're living in an era where anybody and everybody that knows Nick Caserio gets an interview. And I'm not shooting at Nick. I'm just saying, generally speaking, like if you have a connection to an organization, we got guys out here that have no business getting head jobs that ain't even coached in the league getting interviews, right? So let's not oversell a guy being a hot candidate at the head coach position. We're interviewing anybody and everybody under the sun. In today's NFL. So, you know, but it looks to me like this is Nick's turn to go out and get his guys in here and do it his way, do it the New England way, because the San Francisco way didn't work out. There's too many dots. The stars align in that direction. You can't tell me that Nick Caserio didn't have a very, very, very strong, all of a sudden, you know, a guy in D'Amico and Nick that the first thing they do every time they speak is, man, we work together. We do things together. Now all of a sudden, Nick's nowhere to be found with this staff. Yeah, no, it's like I don't care what anybody says. It's hard for me to not go to a place where it's Nick's turn to make the decision, and see if he can't get the offense.
I definitely think this is a much more collaborative effort in figuring out who the coach is. And I'll be honest, I don't have a problem with it. Right? Like,
no,
after,
it just,
you know
it,
what I mean.
It just,
after it's Slowick and that didn't work.
Yeah.
But hell yeah, you know, maybe we. And he talked about it, talked to other coaches. I'm certain he's got a relationship with Sean McVay. Certain he's probably talked to his mentor and Kyle Shanahan. I'm sure he's talked to multiple guys. I trust that D'Amico, for the most part, like, can identify good coaches. I feel like he's been around enough of them so much, from Kubiak to Andy. Help Chip Kelly, even in Philly, and then obviously with Kyle in San Francisco. To me, and still we have not seen everything shake out. We don't know if the staff will completely stay the same. Right now, we have only heard of the one change, and it's not really that much of a change because he was on the staff last year outside of Kelly. It does feel like there has to be more change than this. And that or at least has to be a guy, as he said, his leadership. There has to be a little bit of a guy saying, all right, I'm gonna be the OC, but I do need to bring somebody or some people that I feel good about. There is no way to me that Nick Cayley can come in here and say, yeah, that's the tight end coach I'm going to roll with. But if you were a tight end coach yeah. your whole life, and you watch on film and you saw what you saw from Tiny, like, no disrespect, brother, I gotta get my guy in.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, to me, there is something to the thought of, hey, now sure, maybe there was a connection, but hey, man, before we even hire you as the OC, we're going to hire your offensive line coach. And that is clearly, that's the number one thing he was questioned about. Nick Caley, that was coming more than anything in the presser. And that, like, there's something to the fact of, it does feel like he's bringing in a coach that he has made a lot of decisions for him, and you just come in here and
well,
coach.
It's interesting, that's the only thing that
makes me check up.
Nobody wants CJ put in a system. You want to build a system around CJ, but you want to stick Nick Caley in a system.
Yeah.
It's okay for Caserio and D'Amico to just keep all these pieces around there and just plug Nick Caley in and go, hey, man, go. Good luck. Go get this. Go do work with this group. But it's CJ, you can't plug him into a system. It's interesting, man. Nick and D'Amico got an interesting way of hiring. It works on the defense side of the football because D'Amico's running all the. Obviously, D'Amico is a elite alpha leader of men and a great play caller. But finding that elite alpha leader of men, great play caller on the offensive side of the football seems to be. They've had a tough go at it so far. We'll see if Nick Caley can rise to the challenge.
Yeah, they think highly of him, and I cannot wait to watch and see what things he brings to the table and how this thing looks. And I do, like I said, I think D'Amico can identify good coaches. And I think it's just a bit of the process of it. Like, when you think about good coaches, the other part that comes to mind is, well, yeah, man, I'm gonna bring guys that I feel really good about.
But here's the deal: like, like, I agree with you. D'Amico and Nick are, I mean, I would say on the elite side of hiring guys that cleats in the turf, sweat my ass off, leaving it all on the field, coaching. Like, I think that part of it, and that's part of the reason why the Texans are going to win this division. They're going to be a 9 or 10 win football team until D'Amico decides to hang it up, right? But again, the interesting thing is you've got to have more than that in a play caller. Like, he's got to demand the respect of Bill Lazor and Gerard Johnson and Ben McDaniels and all these guys. He's got to demand the respect, even in the hard times, man. Even when you can't get the protection right and your quarterback's smoke, like, you got to demand the respect of those guys. And it's clear Bobby may have been a damn rocket scientist with play. He may have been a genius with the playbook. But if you don't demand respect in them adverse times, everybody's going to turn on you, and it's going to get uglier and uglier and uglier, and that's obviously what happened with Bobby.
All right, Alex Bregman, he spoke from Boston as he was introduced as the latest Red Sox, and he spoke about the Astros organization. We'll let you hear what he had to say coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Real quick, we will get to Alex Bregman as he spoke. Kick Rocks, we appreciate you and everybody on YouTube and Twitch says, you act like it's been tragic. They missed on one hire, and by missing, they only got to the second round of the playoffs instead of round three. Like, it's something tragic. I don't know. You used the word tragic. There is something up with a guy getting fired after he helped bring a rookie to finish eighth in the MVP race. And back-to-back, win rookie of the year, back-to-back 10-win seasons, back-to-back blowout playoff wins, and then get closer in the postseason than he did the previous year with no Tank Dell and no Stephon Diggs and 2 years in a row not having the full complement of guys. Like, there's something happened there's something up that in that quickly of a
doesn't add up.
Of a span that you're making a move. Right.
Yeah.
From the guy that was always your dude that you knew was gonna come. We heard that. Whenever I got a job, everybody knew it was D'Amico and Bobby Slowick is like that. That was going to be the package. And it looked like a great package. Like, you're calling it tragic, but there is something that is not normal. As I said to Clint a couple weeks ago, what do you think would have, just think in your mind, what would have to happen for Cliff Kingsbury to get fired at the end of next year?
I mean, they had to go sub 500, miss playoffs.
You would think if they went,
it'd be solely on the offense.
You wouldn't think if they went 10-7 and won a playoff game the next year that it would result in Cliff getting fired.
Be hard to see it,
right?
Be
so
hard
I mean,
to see
I,
it,
like I get what you're saying. It's just something.
Yeah, look, I'll respond to it. I'm not saying anything trash. I'm stating what I believe is the obvious and what I believe the minute you hire a defensive minded head coach. That is when it's all said and done. This is the hurdle. This is the obstacle. This is the constant change that comes with a defensive-minded head coach is the offensive coordinator. And if you don't get it right, then everybody struggles. And the reality of it is, D'Amico's the one that admitted that he got it wrong. I mean, I know there's a lot of fans that were disgruntled with Bobby, and rightfully so. I'm not saying you shouldn't be, but D'Amico's the one that decided to throw in a towel. D'Amico's the one that said, hey, man, like right now, you talk about Cliff Kingsbury. Like, Cliff and Jaden Daniels had a really good season this year. If you stack it up statistically, I mean, CJ was still better. CJ led the league in yards passing per game.
Except for the running aspect of it.
Well, I mean, look, there was a running aspect of it. They went one round deeper in the playoffs, and so there was obviously some better. But if you just look at the quarterback play and like what like just blows your mind about the quarterback play, I would argue that the majority of people that sat down and studied the 2 years from quarterback play, CJ Stroud's year is more touchdown interception ratio and lead the league. Like when it comes down to in 10 years and you're looking back at it, like and leaning heavily on the box score, the stat sheet, like you're not going, there's not going to be a better year than what CJ Stroud had as a rookie. I mean, please put that into context. Led the league in passing in yards per game and led the league in touchdown interception as a damn rookie. Like that's wild. And that guy
with Lamar and Mahomes going 1-2 in the MVP.
Yes. And that guy, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I tip the cap to D'Amico for seeing whatever's wrong, pulling the plug and saying, I got to move on. I got to get the hell out of here. I don't have time to waste. I applaud that. But think about it. What Bobby did, what I just explained, that wasn't good enough. You gonna find better? You gonna gamble that you're gonna find better? And hopefully you do. But that is a tough-ass gamble.
Or that Bobby pushed them to feel like they needed to find like that quickly.
Right.
That's all I'm saying is, I'm not saying it's tragic, that is just not normal.
Oh, no, there's nothing normal about it. No.
That scenario, if you just say it out loud, that's not normal. I will guarantee you, if Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders win 10 games next year, there is no way in hell and make the playoffs and get to the divisional round. There's no way in hell. Cliff may be gone. He may have become a head coach. There is no way that Dan Quinn is going to turn over there and be like, you know what, man, we got to roll.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's just not a normal thing. All right.
Now, unless Cliff goes back to his Johnny Manziel days.
Now, listen, man.
And is in the bar scene with whoever else is in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, at Miley Cyrus and Britney Spears, that
those become his side.
Now we're talking about extracurricular things right here. If you get into that white girl, that's a little something different.
Yeah, but, you turn over. Yeah, it's kind of like a football game. Five turnovers might look. It obviously changes the game.
I'm telling you, that Johnny Manziel documentary, Cliff. I don't know. Maybe that was tequila. I don't know what that was. There is nothing of
you talking about the look or
the look, everything, the whole face. I don't want to put what it is, but there seemed like there was more fun had than came at a bar with a bottle.
Yeah, it was rough. That was a rough look.
I didn't mean to. Hopefully,
sorry, Cliff.
Maybe it was Coors. Maybe it was just a whole bunch of Coors.
It was road hard, put up wet. That's for damn sure. Ooh, that house and that house ain't big enough out there, and that couch ain't wide enough to make that look good, boy. Ooh, that, rough.
The look in Cliff's eyes and that face and the stuff that he was saying.
As he's talking about giving him, you know, telling the guy he better play well because he missed curfew and showed up late.
Just stop coming in hungover. Yeah, that was that was something. All right, Alex Bregman, he did speak in his press conference becoming a Boston Red Sox. This is what he had to say about the Astros organization.
How difficult was it for you at the end to leave an organization that you had been with your entire career?
Oh, definitely difficult. I have so much respect for the organization, top to bottom, all the players.
Alex Bregman. That's it, man. I will say that I was, I don't want to say happy, but just, all right, finally it's over and we don't have to keep looking at that. But damn, it still is. Alex is going to be in a Boston Red Sox. Do we know what position Alex is going to play, by the way?
They're saying second base because okay. Rafael Devers, according to.
Oh, Raf said he ain't moving.
He's not moving, no. Nope.
He said you can go to hell. I'm not moving anywhere.
He said, I'm not playing DH either.
I'm not DH. Damn, man. May have been
part of Bregman's holdup was the best offer he had out there on a yearly basis was had already had a third baseman saying, get the hell out of here.
Hey, look. Talk about where he's coming from. Hey, man, he got one teammate that will go and play left field. He'll go and play anywhere he can to get his ass on the field. The other player said, hell no, I'm the best player on this team. I'm not moving from third, and I'm not DHing.
He said, no, no.
Alex Bregman, second base. That ought to be something, right? That ought to be something. You stand up and clap for Alex when he returns. Go to that one. You stand up and clap. Alex is one. You said him and Altuve are the two for you in this era. You'd stand up and give him a.
Oh man, that'd be tough for me, man.
Get out of here.
I'm not. If Altuve went somewhere else, I definitely would. I mean, you're talking about the best Astro ever.
I did. I thought it was a little aggressive when I was at the game in which my hair was dyed blonde. When Yuli Gurriel, who I didn't know, had been a part of the Royals roster but about 2 hours prior to the game, when they, and I'll give it to the Astros, their video department, they can get on it quickly. They had a video ready for Yuli as he walked out there, and Yuli had just got called up like 3 hours prior to the game. I'll damn sure know they're going to have one ready for Alex. That man, Jose Altuve, he might get up there and he might take his glove off and stand on it.
No question. Field. Oh, they're going to have one. It's going to be, yeah, it's, and it's.
Yeah, that's that one's going to be a weird look. That's going to be a weird look. Someone said.
I'd probably pull myself to stand
up. You'd have to stand up for Alex. Yeah, now, it would get
I'd probably pull myself to stand up.
Yeah. He's a Red Sox playing second base. I can't wait to see him turn into getting ready. Just as spring training starts, he's going to be playing a little bit of second base. Someone texted in, why were you naming all of those white girls' names? In reference to Cliff Kingsbury.
He was referring to that cocaine, y'all. He's referring to that booger sugar. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Also referred to in some circles as that white girl.
I was gonna say, do we have any other slangs for that? Booger sugar that's the first one I've heard.
I've heard hitting the slopes.
Okay, the slopes. All right, I could see that. Yes, just start naming a bunch of white women. That works as well. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Someone said that White Castle. That's the first one I've heard of that one too. Not heard of that one.
Better keep it to a shed or something. You know, you get into a castle, your ass gonna fall over dead. You're going to have too much fun. You're going to end up looking like Cliff.
End up looking like Cliff. I think that might be the goal for some, is to look like Cliff. What you got coming up at the floor?
Oh, hell, I tell you what, boy. One obvious difference. We've been talking a lot about the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, the old one and the new one, Nick Caley. One obvious difference between the two coaches, the two coordinators. Bobby Slowick, fired and gone. Nick Caley, the next in line. One obvious difference between those two that I think will be a huge positive for the Houston Texans. I'll tell you what that is, and we'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.